beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media, at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution, true emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic 3-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show.
My name is Andy Z. I'm a host of the show, and I'm here today with Annie Day, a regular contributor to the RNL show.
I'm very glad to be here. This show is about a real revolution to overthrow this whole system and bring a radically different and far better world into being. And we base ourselves on the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who's brought forward a strategy to make that revolution.
And Annie, we want to get right into the show today and right into organizing and preparing people now for a real revolution. And a key part of the strategy for making revolution, the preparation for it, requires waging fierce struggle to break people out of all the bullshit ways of thinking and acting that they're caught up in, and winning them to become emancipators of humanity. And Bob Avakian wrote an article this past summer titled State of Emergency: Chains on the People Who Desperately Need to Be Free. And the staff of the RNL show illustrated this. So watch this.
State of Emergency: Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free. A message from Bob Avakian. revolutionary leader, author, and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. State of emergency. State of emergency. Masses of people are demoralized and disoriented, robbed of real hope, chasing after deadly illusions, desperately clinging to things that are not real, indulging in trivial pursuits while stubbornly refusing to face the biggest reality, striving to turn degradation into capital, bitterly divided and beefing over bullshit, trying to make a mark by mocking and even murdering each other. Chain, chain, chain. Chain of foolishness. Today, so many are caught up in the 3M&P. What is the 3M&P? Me, me, me. Money, money, money. Misogyny and patriarchy. All ways of thinking and acting that reflect and reinforce this system of capitalism imperialism that so viciously oppresses people here and all over the world, all constantly promoted and pumped out in the popular culture.
This country, you've got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
Including in hip-hop. How this came to dominate hip-hop and how it has actually perverted this creative art form.
What I really want to see is the money. I don't really need a D, I need the
money. Which could be and should be a powerful voice for liberation.
Fight the power.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
That is another story, which has everything to do with how things are ultimately controlled by the ruling powers that dominate overall in this sick system of capitalism imperialism. These are real chains on people, especially those most terribly, murderously oppressed under this system. Misogyny, hating women, and subjecting them to degradation in countless ways. Patriarchy.
But females are barely sentient. Females don't have independent thought. They don't come up with anything. They're just empty vessels.
Relations in which men are regarded as superior to women and hold power over them, while LGBT people are treated as illegitimate and objects of hatred, abuse, and scorn. Then there is the BEB. What is BEB? Bourgeois electoral bullshit. The ridiculous idea that you change this system that viciously preys on you, and millions and billions of people like you in this country and all over the world, by voting for this group or that group of bourgeois capitalist vultures. And what is another big chain on people, supposedly easing but really perpetuating the pain of feeling hopeless and powerless to put an end to the suffering that so many are afflicted by today? Religion. What is religion? Organized promotion of the belief that things have been created and are controlled by one or another God, which in reality does not exist and has been invented by people, with so many taught to believe that if things are the way they are, it is the will of this supposed God.
You don't know what God is making while you're aching. You don't know what God is making while you're suffering. You can't always see what the Master's doing. Only when we look back, then we see that God had a plan.
As I have written before, while upholding people's right to religion and uniting with religious people who take positive stands in the fight against oppression, it is crucially important to consistently and resolutely struggle for a scientific, not a religious, method and approach to reality, and wage a fierce, relentless fight against anti-scientific poison spread among the masses of people in the name of religion. Learn to live in chains, bow down to those enforcing the chains, boast about and sing praises to the chains, or break all the chains. That is the choice. I know some people don't like it when I say all this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because as a revolutionary dedicated to the emancipation of humanity from every chain that holds people down, I recognize the responsibility to tell people the truth, even if it offends some at first. And all you who also know this is true, you need to say it too. Say it loud. It is time, and long past time, to break these mental chains, to get in position to break all the chains of the modern-day slavery of this system of capitalism imperialism. It is time to take up the scientific outlook, method, strategy and program, morality and values that can lead people to finally get free, the new communism. It is time to become revolutionary emancipators of humanity. Hard truth, liberating truth.
I'm here with Noche Diaz, a regular contributor to the RNL, Revolution Nothing Less show. Welcome, Noche.
Good to be here, Andy.
All right. Earlier this week, we went out and with some of the RevComs to a college campus and recorded you reading the statement for the new RevCom Core for the Emancipation of Humanity. I think we should play it and then let's talk about it a bit.
Okay.
All right.
I'm Noche Diaz. We are announcing the formation of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. We are working for a real revolution and a whole new emancipating way to live. To everyone who can't stand this world the way it is, who is sick and tired of so many people being treated as less than human. Everyone who hungers for a world without oppression, exploitation, poverty, and destruction of the environment. Everyone who has the heart to fight for something that is really worth fighting for. You need to be part of this revolution. Stop the genocidal persecution, mass incarceration, police brutality, and murder of black and brown people. Stop the patriarchal degradation, dehumanization, and subjugation of all women everywhere, and all oppression based on gender or sexual orientation. Stop the wars for empire, the armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity. Stop the dehumanization, criminalization, and deportation of immigrants, and the militarization of the border. Stop capitalism, imperialism from destroying our planet. This system of capitalism, imperialism, is the source of all the outrages and madness that people are subjected to here and around the world, and it is long past time it be swept off the face of the earth. Revolution is even more possible in the time we live in now, because those who have ruled over us in this country are deeply divided in a way they have not been since the Civil War of the 1860s. While society is ripping apart in ways that can no longer be covered over or held together, we face two futures, something terrible or something truly emancipating. And which future we get depends to a great extent on what we do. To seize this time, throughout society and with eyes on the whole country, we are organizing the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. We are united around two principles. One, Humanity needs revolution and the new communism brought forward by Bob Avakian. And two, fight the power and transform the people for revolution. We are living by, spreading, and fighting for the points of attention of the revolution. Revolution is not some small change that leaves the system in place or in power. Revolution, real revolution, means defeating the violent enforcers of this monstrous system, abolishing this system with all its oppressive institutions and its governing U.S. Constitution, and establishing a far better system based on the Constitution for the new Socialist Republic in North America, written by Bob Avakian, which would bring into being a society and ultimately a world free from all forms of slavery, all exploitation and oppression, based on class, race, sex, and gender, all relations in which one part of humanity is subordinated and dominated by another. Communism, the new communism, has been brought forward by Bob Avakian, a completely different leader, who is heart and soul hardcore serious about a revolution where people can get all the way free. He has further developed and applied communism as a scientific understanding of the need and possibility for this truly emancipating revolution. When you join the RevCom Corps, you will be working to spread this revolution while you are learning. You will learn to work together with people just like you and people who are nothing like you, but that they share the common cause of getting humanity free. You get the training and the grounding and a scientific understanding of what this is all for, the emancipation of humanity, and the strategic approach to revolution as you advance as a revolutionary leader. When you join the RevCom Corps, you can have the powerful impact that you cannot have alone. As part of a growing, organized, disciplined, bold, and fearless force, influencing and attracting thousands more to become fighters for revolution and go on to lead millions to actually make revolution in the time we live in now.
All right, Noche, there's a lot packed into that mission statement for the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. So I think first off, we should get into why did we change the name of the Revolution Clubs to the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity?
It's an important question. And, you know, we're changing the name because we're changing everything about what we're doing and how we're organizing people into the ranks of the revolution now. And if you've been watching this show and paying attention, you know, Bob Avakian has launched a network on social media speaking directly to people and really fighting for people to recognize the time we live in, the deep divisions in society, the way things are ripping apart. And, you know, it's not just a feeling you have, you know, it's actually something different. The way the people in power are fighting each other. This is not going to get covered up and resolved in the way it has been for, you know, since the Civil War, you know, as, you know, he's been saying. And what we are doing to organize people into the revolution has got to be aimed at seizing on the time we live in to not just someday make a revolution, but to make a revolution in the time we live in now, as it says in that mission statement. And on revcom.us, there's an important document titled Revolution, Building Up the Basis to Go for the Whole Thing with a Real Chance to Win. And that has to set our sights on what we are aiming to do when we are organizing people into the ranks of the revolution. And the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, this name change is also communicating the core principles that need to be at the heart of how we're organizing people. And the fact that this has got to become a growing, organized, disciplined, fearless force that is reaching out to attracting the thousands who can actually lead the millions to make revolution in the time we live in now and building up that basis to go for the whole thing the way it's outlined in that document.
I think it's important, Noche, that you brought out that what time it is and that this name change is to be able to meet the challenge of these times. And I know that the Revolution Clubs had meetings to discuss making this name change, and it'd be, I think, really important to hear what was the put it this way, the esprit de corps, the spirit of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, and how people feel are on a mission now to step out in the next couple of weeks with this new name.
Yeah, so it's important, you know, you mentioned we had these meetings around the country, and then as you saw, we had the, you know, video from being out, you know, and actually bringing this announcement to people, because that's part of what the spirit of the Corps is that we're going out, and everyone who's been part of this revolution and people who have not and who are just learning about it now are being brought forward into a serious organization for the emancipation of humanity. When you played earlier on this show the statement from Bob Avakian, state of emergency, chains on those who desperately need to be free, you can see all the ways this system has people living and thinking in ways that keep them going along with this dog-eat-dog monstrous system. And he's not just calling people out to berate them. You hear the inspiring, you know, thing about it is that he's struggling with people because he knows they can change. And you see that in that statement, but also in his posts on social media on an ongoing way, really fighting with people to be what they are capable of. And this is the challenge. This is the spirit that we're bringing people together around. And so when you get that challenge, you need somewhere to go. You can't just go home and be like, damn, I'm messed up, or everyone else is messed up. You need somewhere you can go where you can, you know, take part in making revolution while you're learning more, where you can, you know, learn how to work together with people who are, you know, nothing like you and people who are maybe similar than you. You need to be able to go somewhere where you, you know, get the scientific understanding of what this revolution is all about for the emancipation of humanity, what that really means, what that's aiming for, the society we can bring into being. And you need somewhere where you can have an impact, okay? Everybody knows alone, you can't do anything, and you feel it when you go out and you try to, you know, make changes or do some good in the world. It does not measure up to what humanity needs. And the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity is where you can go to actually do what humanity needs, which is revolution and this new communism brought forward by Bob Avakian to fight the power and transform the people for revolution, and to, you know, again, be part of that core now that can become the thousands and lead the millions to make revolution in the time we live in now.
All right. So Noche, I'm looking forward to this and having you back on the show, and other people from the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity reporting on how this is going. And let's get those thousands of people organized now into this organization.
Let's go.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Cats like me and you have got lost. They adhere to laws outside the laws as laid down by those we don't subscribe to. The world is getting stranger. Bring on the revolution. I wanna die for something. Bring on the revolution. Don't wanna die.
A monumental horror in Rafah is looming. Rafah is a small city as far south as you can go in the Gaza Strip, right up against the border with Egypt. Once a city of 270,000 people, Rafah is now the last refuge for over 1.4 million Palestinians who fled Israel's massive, systematic destruction of northern and central Gaza. 600,000 of those in Rafah are children. And now Israel, having pushed huge numbers of people into this tiny area, is saying they're going to invade and bomb this tightly packed city. Imagine being the parent of young children living in Rafah right now. Your home was destroyed. You've already moved south 5 times. You've been living on the streets for months, and you huddle against the cold and the rain under a plastic covering that you found in the trash. Some days, you manage to get a piece of bread and a bottle of water to share among the family. Other days, nothing. Your kids are constantly hungry and afraid. Now, one has an infection, but the hospitals are overflowing or under attack. You live in constant terror that an Israeli bomb will explode somewhere near, killing or maiming you or your young ones. You're being told Israeli troops are going to attack, and you know what they did in the rest of Gaza, killing and wounding thousands, leveling whole neighborhoods, evacuating people further and further south. You're being told to evacuate again. But where will you go? Netanyahu, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, promises that civilians will be evacuated to a safe zone. But Israel has bombed everywhere in Gaza, and nowhere is safe. On Sunday night, Israel began bombing Rafah, killing at least 100 people to rescue 2 Israeli hostages. And now they promise an all-out assault. It's possible that Israel's real aim in cramming people so tightly together without food and water is to force them across the border into Egypt. Egypt is taking this seriously and has deployed dozens of tanks along its border with Gaza, signaling to Israel and the Palestinians that they cannot cross. Whatever the exact shape of Israel's next moves, the full-out assault on Rafah promised by Israel would be a major leap, adding horror on top of horror. What is happening with the U.S.-backed Israeli attack on Palestinian people since October 7th, when the reactionary Islamic fundamentalist group Hamas attacked Israel? Is Netanyahu seizing on that attack to attempt a final solution to the Palestinian problem for Israel? And Israel aims, at a minimum, to reduce the Palestinians to such a state that they will no longer pose any problem for Israel, if not literally killing off all the Palestinians. This is truly genocidal. We must do all we can now through mass defiant protest to prevent this screaming atrocity. And those who've come to see that this genocide resides in this system of capitalism and imperialism need to be in the midst of these protests, uniting with people and struggling with them to get organized now for an actual revolution to overthrow this system. In the last week, Biden has oh so lightly stepped up his public criticism of Israel, calling what Israel is doing over the top, saying the deaths of innocent Palestinians in Gaza has got to stop, and pushing for a sustained pause in the fighting.
The conduct of the response in the Gaza Strip has been over the top.
But this is worse than bull, and the blood is on Biden's hands. Genocide Joe Biden has continued to give his full support to Israel, blocking any ceasefire resolutions at the UN, deploying the U.S. military to attack anti-Israel forces in the region, and shipping billions in weapons to Israel. Right now, Biden is trying to get $14.1 billion more in military aid for Israel passed through Congress. So this would be like Biden saying, you know, Hitler, killing all those Jews, it's really over the top, but can I send you more gas for those gas chambers? And meanwhile, Israel is bombing aid convoys, destroying the warehouses that do exist with the meager food supplies. They're shooting into hospitals, killing journalists and medical workers, and the people of Gaza are starving while the bombs continue to fall and the Palestinian people die. Almost 29,000 people have been killed, including more than 12,150 children, with thousands more missing and likely buried under rubble. So why is this all happening? Look, there's a lot of confusion about this. Some people argue it's racism or greedy politicians. But if you don't understand what's really driving this nightmare, you'll be led away from doing what's required to stop it. On his social media dispatch, Bob Avakian makes this plain.
Why is Biden and basically the entire government and ruling class of the U.S. supporting Israel in carrying out genocide against the Palestinian people before the whole world? Here is the answer to that crucial question. This is not because of the power of the Jewish lobby or because of some ignorant, ridiculous, and outrageous notion that Jews are controlling everything. It is because Israel plays a special role as a heavily armed bastion of support for U.S. imperialism in a strategically important part of the world, the Middle East. And Israel has been a key force in the commission of atrocities which have helped to maintain the oppressive rule of U.S. imperialism in many other parts of the world. It's the system of capitalism imperialism that Biden serves, the system he has to serve, the system that anybody and everybody has to serve if they want to hold office, and especially high office like president, within this system. That is why Biden is doing what he's doing, what all these politicians are doing, above and beyond their more narrow personal interests. It's the system, this system of capitalism imperialism, that embodies and enforces white supremacy, patriarchal male supremacy, and other brutal oppression. This system, resting on ruthless, life-stealing exploitation of masses of people in this country and literally billions of people worldwide, including more than 150 million children, all enforced with massive violence and destruction of people and the environment, posing a very real threat to the future and the existence of humanity. This system that needs to be overthrown at the soonest possible time through an actual revolution.
You were just listening to Bob Avakian from Social Media Dispatches. If you are not following Bob Avakian on social media, giving live and direct leadership, then you are missing out. You can follow Bob Avakian on X and Bob Avakian Official on all other platforms. If you sign up on Substack, you can get the text of these dispatches. This is leadership being provided live, direct, what people need to understand about what's happening and what we need to do now. So spread the word, follow yourself, and argue with everyone you know that they need to tap in, they need to follow Bob Avakian on social media. It's something else.
It's really important what you're saying about the social media. Lately, I've been going to YouTube channel, to our YouTube channel, at YouTube at the RevComs, and going to our Substack, and listening to these one after the other. And they are a coherent message for this time. What's the problem we face? What is U.S. imperialism doing? What's the solution? What time it is? And how we could really win? It's just an incredible body as a whole. We want to move forward and finish up today's show with this. It's Black History Month, and there's a series on RevCom.us called American Crime, some of which we've turned into videos for this show, and we want to do one for Black History Month on a incident in U.S. history which was largely buried until the last decade or so. And we did one on this. That was produced by, written by David Zeiger, who has contributed American Crime videos to the RNL show. So watch this.
Okay, here's a pop quiz. What was the site of the biggest race riot in the history of this country?
Oklahoma, where the wind comes. comes sweeping down the plain.
That's right. The great state of Oklahoma, home of lovable farmers and ranchers who just need to learn how to be friends and share all those wide open spaces. In the decades following the Civil War, Oklahoma was the destination for both white settlers and former slaves looking to build a new life. It was also the final destination of the Trail of Tears, the forced march of the southeastern Native American tribes, but that's another American crime story. When Oklahoma became a state in 1907, the very first law they passed legalized and enforced racial segregation. After all, they had to make it a real American state. Tulsa, then, was a sleepy town of 10,000. But with the discovery of oil 3 years later, the population grew to over 100,000 in just one decade. Among those were thousands of black people looking for a better life and hoping to escape the worst of Jim Crow Mississippi, Georgia, and other states of the Old South. In 1921, Tulsa was strictly segregated. Black people could work in town, but all black residents were required to live and shop in the Greenwood District of northern Tulsa. Greenwood's segregated economy, self-contained and self-sufficient, was so successful that it became known nationally as the Black Wall Street. Black-owned grocery stores, banks, libraries, hotels, restaurants, movie theaters, and more lined Greenwood Avenue. But here's what happened on May 30th, 1921. Dick Rowland, a 19-year-old black shoe shiner working downtown, enters the elevator of the only building with a restroom that blacks can use in the area. Sarah Page, a white 17-year-old, is the elevator operator. When the door closes, Page cries out, and Rowland, who may have just tripped and stepped on her foot, runs off knowing what can happen. Sure enough, he's alleged, without evidence, to have assaulted Page. He's arrested the next morning and held in a jail cell above City Hall. Then the headlines hit. The Tulsa Tribune declares nab Negro for attacking girl in elevator, and headlines an editorial, quote, to lynch Negro tonight, end quote. Within an hour, a lynch mob in the hundreds descends on the courthouse. Word spreads throughout Greenwood that whites are storming the courthouse, and Rowland is in danger. At 9 p.m., a group of 25 armed black men, some World War I veterans, drive to the courthouse determined to stop the lynching. The local authorities refuse their offer to help, and they leave. But the heavily armed white mob is incensed. When a group of 75 black men return to the courthouse and are again turned away, a white man approaches an armed black army veteran and demands he turn over his gun. A fight breaks out, and a gun goes off. Historian and author Scott Ellsworth wrote, "While the first shot fired at the courthouse may have been unintentional, those that followed were not. Almost immediately, members of the white mob, and possibly some law enforcement officers, opened fire on the African-American men who returned volleys of their own. The initial gunplay lasted only a few seconds, but when it was over, as many as a dozen men, both black and white, lay dead or wounded. Outnumbered more than 20 to 1, the black men began a retreating fight toward the African-American district with armed whites in close pursuit. They tried to kill all the black folks they could see," a survivor, George Monroe, recalled later. "As many as 500 white men and boys are immediately sworn in as, quote, special deputies, end quote, and told to, quote, get a gun and get a nigger, end quote. Deputies pass out weapons from a sporting goods store across the street. White rioters begin firing on blacks and setting fire to black-owned homes and businesses late into the night. Then as dawn approaches, literally thousands of armed whites, some estimated as many as 10,000, gathered in three locations on the edges of Greenwood. A siren sounds at daybreak, and the mobs of white terrorists launch their invasion. These armed white mobs include over 150 Tulsa police. They set about systematically killing, looting, and burning the entire district of Greenwood, block by block. Armed whites break into black homes and businesses and force the people outside, where they are led away at gunpoint to internment centers set up by the authorities. Anyone who resists is shot. If guns are found inside, the occupant is shot. Homes and businesses are looted, then set on fire with torches and oil-soaked rags. House by house, block by block, Greenwood is demolished. Even airplanes are used to shoot black people from the air and drop kerosene bombs on buildings, setting them ablaze. Tremendously outnumbered, black Tulsans fight back. Riflemen take positions atop the belfry of a newly built church to try and halt the white invasion, but the church is burned to the ground. Deputized police and the National Guard units arrest 6,000 Greenwood residents. Black Tulsans don't go down without a fight, but they're outgunned and outnumbered. Survivors recounted black bodies loaded on trains and dumped off bridges into the Arkansas River, and, most frequently, tossed into mass graves. By noon on June 1st, these white mobs had murdered more than 300 black Tulsa residents. They had turned 40 square blocks of Greenwood into a scorched wasteland, including 1,256 homes destroyed, along with virtually every other structure, churches, schools, businesses, even a hospital and library. More than 10,000 residents were left homeless. Thousands of black Tulsans spent the winter living in tents. Many left for good, having had enough of Tulsa, Oklahoma. A grand jury investigation organized by Oklahoma's governor in the days after the massacre referred to the events in Tulsa as a, quote, Negro uprising, end quote, concluding, quote, the assembly was quiet until the arrival of armed Negroes, which precipitated and was the direct cause of the entire affair, end quote. But that ain't all, folks. The Tulsa race riot was erased from the state and country's history for 76 years. It wasn't until 1997 that a commission was established in Oklahoma to study the riot. And what did they find? Quote, not one of these criminal acts was then or ever has been prosecuted or punished by government at any level, municipal, county, state, or federal.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Bob Avakian, Revolution, number 10. Yes, a revolution to overthrow this system of capitalism, imperialism could win. Right in this country, right in this time we are living in. This revolution will become possible as millions of people are firmly won to understand and are determined to act on the understanding that we need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. The time we are living in now is one where people could be won in their millions to see the urgent need for this radical change and actively work to bring it about. Many people will say, if there are millions of people who are determined to bring this about, why couldn't this happen peacefully, without all the violence and destruction that would be involved in actually fighting to overthrow this system? The answer is this. The fundamental source of violence in the world is this system of capitalism imperialism. By far, the greatest perpetrators of unjust violence are the ruling classes of the capitalist imperialist powers, most of all, this country. And the fundamental reason why the abolition of this system cannot be achieved peacefully is because of the nature of this system itself. Yes, every decent person who cares about justice and the future of humanity could wish that the rulers of this system would simply step down and step aside and allow a much better way of organizing society to come about. But that is just never going to happen. Even with millions and millions of people mobilized to demand an end to this system, those who rule it would never allow their system to be swept away without attempting to violently crush any such attempt. But, many people, Even many people who would love to see the kind of emancipating radical change I'm talking about would argue. That's just the point. We could never deal with all that. We could never go up against the whole massive machinery of violence of this system. Well, that's true. We couldn't win that way, and we won't do it that way. A big military monster like this has to be taken on in a serious way, with a scientifically based strategic approach. It has to be done by defeating such a powerful force in stages and not going up against the full military power it will have, especially at the beginning of the revolution. This means fighting only on favorable terms and at any given time engaging and defeating parts of that oppressive military force, delivering repeated blows that cause its machinery of massive violence to break apart, with growing numbers among its ranks coming over to join the revolutionary forces. Of course, there have to be the conditions that make all this possible, and there could be. In previous messages, number 8 and number 9, I have spoken to the fact that this is a time when there is a deepening crisis and bitter, profound divisions throughout society and among the powers that be. Everything that is going on now is heading toward and could soon become an all-out crisis in this country, with the very nature of society and how it is governed being directly battled out in a way that hasn't happened since the Civil War in the 1860s. This is a rare time, a very rare opening, a chance that may come only once in a lifetime, a chance to take advantage of the deep divisions among the ruling oppressors and go after their whole system with the aim of bringing the whole thing down and putting something much better in its place. And I have emphasized these crucial points. In this developing situation, which is continually becoming more intense, the forces for the revolution that is urgently needed could grow quickly from small numbers to thousands and then millions and get in position to go for the whole thing. And with millions won to revolution, there could be a real possibility for this revolution to win. With such an organized revolutionary force, it is possible to have a growing impact on all of society, changing the terms of how masses of people see things and how every institution has to respond. When the revolutionary situation has been ripened, with the system in such deep crisis that it cannot rule in the normal way that people have been conditioned to accept, when millions of people feel deep in their bones that this system has to go and are ready to do what needs to be done to make that happen, then it could be possible for fighting forces of the revolution to be organized, trained, and deployed to apply this strategic approach. Engage first in well-planned actions to counter the violent, repressive forces of this system, beginning on a small scale, but carried out throughout the country in a way that prevents those repressive forces from concentrating massive destructive power against these actions. Building on these initial actions, continue to gather momentum and accumulate more fighting forces through winning well-chosen engagements on an increasing scale, gaining experience in combat and hardening the revolutionary forces, while resisting and defeating the enemy's attempts to draw the revolutionary forces into confrontations that would lead to a major defeat or even complete annihilation of the revolution. Adjust quickly to changing circumstances, learn quickly from any setbacks, and act decisively to regain and maintain the initiative. Shift the balance of forces in a direction more favorable for the revolution through an ongoing process that combines defeating the enemy on an increasing scale and systematically working to disintegrate the enemy's ranks and win growing numbers to come over to the side of the revolution. When the balance of forces has been shifted decisively in favor of the revolution, concentrate forces to finally defeat the remaining forces of the old oppressive system. In all this, fundamentally rely on masses of people from many parts of society for support and defense, communication, intelligence, logistics, and supply, while making use of equipment that is taken from the other side in ways that fit the strategic approach outlined here. An important factor in all this is the contradiction that among the ranks of this system's armed forces are large numbers who have been drawn from among Black people, Latinos, women, and other oppressed people, while that oppression is built into the very system of capitalism imperialism that they are supposed to fight for. This contradiction is an important part of the basis to win over to the revolution many who start out as part of this system's armed forces. As things develop and the attempts to crush the revolution are defeated, leading to a dynamic that is increasingly favorable for the revolution. What I have spoken to here is the basic approach and some of the basic factors that can make it possible for the revolution to have a real chance to win when the necessary conditions have been brought into being. At revcom.us, there is a very important statement: revolution, building up the basis to go for the whole thing with a real chance to win, strategic orientation and practical approach. And a 5-part series, Revolution, a Real Chance to Win, where I go more extensively and in depth into the strategic approach that could make it possible for this revolution to actually win. For anyone who is serious, anyone who is willing to think seriously about whether a revolution is not only necessary, but is actually possible in this country, you need to go to revcom.us and get into those works. And if you are not serious and aren't willing to look into this seriously, then don't bother to say that there is no way this revolution could ever be possible, because you don't have any real basis to say that, and you're just thinking what everybody is supposed to think. For those who are serious, and those who are honestly questioning whether all this is real, in the next message, I'm going to get further into key dimensions of the developing situation that have to do with how the fight could be waged so that the revolution has a real chance to win.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Was die Attentäter betrifft, die in Berlin den Anschlag auf die Deutsche deutsch arabische Gesellschaft verübt haben, ist die Polizei einen Schritt weiter gekommen. Denn nach dem Anschlag
they sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. Manhattan. Then we take birth.